This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the Federal Reserve Board wrapping up its policy meeting today and could lower interest rates for the first time in 4 years. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more.
Nobody knows exactly how much it's going to be, whether it's a quarter of a percentage point or half a percentage point. Wall Street is expecting a bigger rate cut, while most economists I'm talking to think that they're going to take that more gradual approach. But the bottom line is that those interest rates are going down. And this is just the beginning of a series of interest rates cuts that will make the cost of borrowing money at least a little bit less expensive. So that applies to everything from your mortgages to a new car loan to credit card debt.
Another round of deadly explosions rocking Lebanon for a second day involving communication devices. Sources tell ABC News Israel was behind yesterday's pager explosions. Today, Israel's defense minister visited troops and says they're open to a new phase in the war and says resources are shifting to the north. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. One of two teenagers accused of killing a staff member at Lincoln Hills Youth Prison this summer is formally charged with murder. Deputies say 17-year-old Ryan Nyblom killed Corey Pruhl in June. Nyblom waived his preliminary hearing yesterday. A 16-year-old at Lincoln Hills faces reckless homicide charges. Federal civil rights investigators have been looking into conditions at Wisconsin's youth prisons for years. Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance blames Donald Trump's critics for two assassination attempts on the former president this summer. He rallied supporters yesterday in Eau Claire.
To everybody that has been attacking this man and trying to censor this man for going on 10 years, cut it out or you're going to get somebody killed.
But Congresswoman Madeline Dean says that kind of rhetoric only makes it harder to investigate the two incidents. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin announced that the Department of Veterans Affairs has awarded more than $4.2 million in retroactive benefits for over 100 veterans who were misdiagnosed at a Wisconsin VA medical center and subsequently denied compensation and benefits. Of the 941 veterans who received exams from Dr. Mary Jolanska, Senator Baldwin announced that the VA has identified 649 veterans who may have been negatively impacted by the exams. The remaining 292 veterans either had their original claims appropriately approved from the earliest possible effective date, or their exam did not factor into their final disability benefits decision, so no additional exam is required. Of those 649, 151 equitable relief claims have been filed and 101 have been granted, yielding $4.27 million in retroactive benefits paid. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers' magic number is 1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. Milwaukee lost 5-1 to the Phillies on Tuesday, but because the Chicago Cubs also lost, the Brewers need either a win or a Cubs loss on Wednesday to clinch the NL Central and a playoff spot. With the Cubs game likely done before the Brewers take the field against the Phillies, Milwaukee could know its playoff fate before first pitch tonight. The Green Bay Packers may be without Jordan Love for a second straight game due to an MCL sprain, but Coach Matt LaFleur is ready to go with Malik Willis, who he said is prepared if they need him again.
I would say that he was pretty relatively calm throughout the course of the entire game. And, you know, when we did ask him to do certain things, he was able to go out there and execute. So that definitely gave us confidence, especially as the game wore on.
Willis threw his first career touchdown pass in the win over the Colts. The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The unseasonable warmth continues today, too, under sunny skies as highs smack the mid-80s. Few more clouds filtering in here this evening, becoming partly cloudy. We'll leave us tomorrow under a mix of sun and clouds as showers and some storms move in by the afternoon and especially into the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 82 degrees.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite news podcast? Good news. ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Yeah. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy with podcasts like The Daily, Up First, and Five Things, uninterrupted at amazon.com/adfree. Just head to amazon.com/adfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Carl and Peggy Hendricks from the Hendricks Distillery in Oshkosh. And Sarah Enwald, festival manager for Festivals of Cedarburg, joins to discuss Cedarburg's Wine and Harvest Festival.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
Yes, indeed. Here we are. Hump Day, made it halfway through the week. And Mr. Zommers, that means that tomorrow we are going to be there down in beautiful Greene County, Wisconsin, right south of Madison, north of the Illinois border, for Cheese Days in Monroe.
Come to Cheese Days in Monroe.
Yes, I cannot wait. Have family and friends coming in. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Going to be down there tomorrow and on Friday. Our friend Matt Flynn is going to stop by at some point and say hello. His wife is originally from there. Going to be talking to cheesemakers and yodelers and accordion players. And there's going to be they're going to attempt, I believe, on Saturday to set the polka world record for most people doing the polka at once.
Really? I wonder what that
yes.
is.
And I'm going to be there. My sister, by the way, is a mean polka-er, so she may be in town, so we'll find out. But lots of polka-ing, lots of cheese-eating, big parade on Sunday. There's a run and walk on Saturday morning. Boogie and the Yo-Yos. If you've never heard of or seen Boogie and the Yo-Yos, they're a great cover band. They also have originals. They're playing on Saturday night in downtown Monroe. It is a free concert. It's an open-air concert, so you just bring a lawn chair or stand up, have a beverage, have a piece of cheese, and enjoy the evening. Cheese Days in Monroe. We'll see you down there tomorrow and Friday as well. Coming up a little bit later at the bottom of this hour, we are going to have the director, producer, and producer, respectively, Sean Hannish and Kelly Call back on the program. So happy to have them back on. Their new movie, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. As the kids say, fire. Fire.
It was bussin'.
It was bussin'. That's right. That's exactly. Just a Bit Outside, it's bussin' at the theaters, ladies and gentlemen. I know, in all seriousness, it's doing great. Getting great reviews, great ratings, and I know they're just thrilled, and they're coming back on because Marcus Theaters in Wisconsin has extended the run at least through this weekend. And it's going to open up in, I believe, Gurnee, Illinois, at Gurnee Mills Theaters.
Correct, yeah.
In Illinois this weekend. So that's going to be fantastic. We'll talk. And the Brewers, by the way, are off today. They lost yesterday. The Cubs lost yesterday. So that means if the Cubs lose today, the Brewers win the NL Central. If the Cubs win, then the Brewers can wrap it up tomorrow with a win. So very, very exciting stuff. I'm in my Milwaukee Brewers Bob Uecker jersey here high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. So that's coming up. But first of all, before we do a little text to win contest, is a Mark from Prairie du Sac, is he still on the line? Let's find out. Mark, did you hold through the break? Are you still there, my friend?
Still here.
Fantastic.
I enjoyed Trigby's little vignette there. He's talking about speaking Lithuanian. Kind of reminded me of a science fiction short story I read by Euclid Le Guin called Nine Lives, where two guys that were from Earth, and but they learned Welsh together. They taught the other one Welsh so they could speak that language because they're asked, why are you speaking that language, by another team that came out there. Mm. So we just enjoy speaking a mother tongue.
Right.
I mean, a tongue they learned, the one learned from his mother, apparently, that I seem to remember. But for this whole anti-immigrant, whole crusade thing, part of, I'm not a very religious man, but I mean, the invocation under Matthew 25, which you're familiar with, mm-hmm. is that we are called upon that as both individuals and as nations to welcome the stranger and to feed the stranger and give them drink. And I was wondering if, with the idea, it occurred to me that in these states where it's illegal to actually give somebody a drink of water when they're standing in line waiting to vote.
Yeah.
If somebody could say that, well, by doing that, they're actually violating my freedom of religion because giving somebody a drink of water is exercising my religion, because most of the world religions, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Sikhism, all call upon mm-hmm. to give the hungry food and drink.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that could actually be a defense against them trying to fine somebody for giving them a drink of water, because they're standing in line for 6 hours waiting to vote, and that not only is that kind of a abridgment of your right to vote because you're making it so difficult to actually vote, mm-hmm. that actually denying somebody else the free exercise of religion in providing those people with food and drink when they're standing in line.
That's a great question, Mark. I appreciate you calling. And again, I'll leave the most of the legalese up to people like Maggie Dawn and Matt Flynn, who actually are attorneys. Matt's going to be on the show later on this week, and if you think of it, Colin, that's a great question. I'm not sure what the legal standing is on that. But what Mark's saying there is true, that in some states now, if you give someone a bottle of water or whatever in line while they're standing there to vote in these big, long lines, that's against the law in some states. And again, it's meant to what these states, like Georgia was one of them at least at one time, and what they do is they take away the number of polling places, and then what happens when they take away the polling places, you have fewer places to vote, you have longer lines to vote. So people, I mean, when I vote in Madison, or back when I voted in Richland County in Bloom Township, I mean, if there were three people ahead of you, that was a long line, usually. Small rural township. In Madison, I don't know that I've ever had more than a half a dozen, maybe 10 people ahead of me in line. I've never had to wait more than 15 minutes, I don't think.
Me either.
To vote in Madison. I know there are some people, because of work schedules or whatever, they don't get off until like 7 o'clock or can't get to the polls till like 7 at night, an hour before. And in some places there are longer lines. But that's in part due to my former party, the Republicans, making it more difficult to vote, taking away monies for municipalities to hire poll workers, and so there are fewer places to vote, which means longer lines. And so the idea from the Republican side is that if it's a long line, that people will get fed up and just be like, screw it, I'm not going to vote. And where is that more prone to happen? In urban areas, which are generally more prone to vote Democratic. That's the strategy. I'm just telling you, from someone who used to be in that party. And so, think about it. When you go give blood, right? You give blood and then there's like a little snack for you. Coffee, juice, maybe a sandwich, something like cookies. So you can give people a snack to give blood. You should be able to give people a snack if they're standing in line to vote. That's not going to influence a person who or whom they're going to vote for if they get a snack. Because we're not talking about bottles of water with a candidate sticker on it, for goodness sake. These were municipalities or nonpartisan voting organizations just saying, hey, we know you might have to wait an hour. Here's a bottle of wine. Here's a cookie. Or Wi-Fi.
Now that would be interesting.
Clearly, Todd is thinking about what's happening after the show. Wouldn't that be great, though? Now, that would get voter participation up if you went and voted and you got a bottle of wine. No, I meant bottle of water. Goodness gracious. Anyway, if you're getting a bottle of water with nobody's sticker on it, that's not going to influence anybody to vote.
I certainly wouldn't think so.
No, I don't think so. The folks at WFHR are keeping me on track, and I always appreciate that. The Brewers are actually playing tonight, as it turns out. Who knew that? There you go. So the Brewers could wrap it up tonight with a win tonight. So we shall see. We're going to play, and we might have time for a little what's worse in a minute. Well, first of all, I guess we have a phone call. Quickly, let's go to beautiful La Crosse up there by Granddad's Bluff. Dana listening in La Crosse. Thanks for calling. What say you?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Say, we're talking about voting and suppression and everything here. So I saw this thread online today, and all the MAGAs, they seem to have a hard time understanding what the Electoral College really is, and I tried educating them a little bit on that, on the history of it. They just don't get it. And, you know, I try to just, you know, make it as simple as I can for them. One person, one vote. So it shouldn't matter where you live, because they're hung up on this idea that, well, the East Coast and the West Coast, they're highly populated, so their vote would mean more. And I'm trying to help them understand that, well, if it's one person, one vote, it's not going to matter where you live. Every vote is going to count the same. Mm. I'm just wondering if you have any way of how can we convince these people to understand that basic
well, truth. I think you bring up a great point, Dana. And, you know, there are some people that are just so entrenched that I'm not sure at this moment whether they're ever going to be persuaded anything differently. I certainly have my own concerns about the Electoral College, and that do we need to do away with that? Just do a popular vote? That's a discussion that's valid and can be had. But again, that's not going to happen between now and November. We have the system we have, and we have had since the beginning of our country. And the Electoral College is based on population. Wisconsin has 11 electoral votes. California has whatever it is, 40-something. New York has 30, 40-something. And so it's based on the population of that state, and that's how many electoral college votes each state is worth, and then whoever gets to 270 wins the presidency. But yeah, it's one person, one vote. And yeah, again, I go back to 2020 was a free and fair election. It's been proven in court. It's been proven other places. And to say anything but that is simply not true. But really appreciate the call, Dana. Mr. Zalmers, quickly, let's go. Here we go. Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Contest.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Contest. One winner per hour is going to win either $100 cash or gold jewelry. Up today, gold jewelry. The grand prize winner, a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Right now at the Civic Media app, the word of the day is field. The word this hour to text in is field. F as in Frank. I-E-L-D. The word is field. F-I-E-L-D. That is the number to call in. Or not call, text in. Text in. Field. It is field. That is the word of the hour. We'll get more into that contest when we come back. Also, get ready for a great conversation about Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. Kelly Call, Sean Hannish are here at the bottom of the hour. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just a Bit Outside.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original Badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lowball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's 21 now, past the hour, 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, just a bit outside talking baseball here with the producer and producer-director of the new film. It is doing so well in the box office, thanks to all of you getting great reviews. It's been extended another weekend. So we will be talking to them after the bottom of the hour. Right now, doing our Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. The word to text this hour is FIELD. F as in Frank, I-E-L-D, FIELD. And the way we usually set this up a little bit more, ran against the clock there, but go to the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, go to the app store on your cell phone or laptop or device or whatever on, what am I trying to say? The iPad.
You could probably do it with an iPad, yeah.
Go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute to download. It's free. Open it up. You'll see all of our stations. Click on whichever one is closest to you, or the top one is Waukesha or Madison. Click on one. You'll see the little icon that says text. Click on that, and then type in the word FIELD, F-I-E-L-D. Todd is outstanding in left field, F-I-E-L-D, and text FIELD right now to the Civic Media app. This hour, somebody's going to win some gold. Do we know how much? Were we told how much? It's not like a bar of gold, is it?
It's gold jewelry.
Oh, very good, gold jewelry. You're going to win some gold jewelry this hour. This hour, and then you'll be everybody's entered in for our grand prize at the end of next week. The computer will randomly draw one winner, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. And the weather in Green Bay on December 23rd, you might need to be inside, Mr. Sommers.
Perhaps, yeah.
At that lovely place where they have that game in the city of Green Bay. So there you go. The lawyers are all over. I'm telling you, I have to be very careful when I talk about this contest. FIELD, F-I-E-L-D, text FIELD right now. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Tom on the phone lines. Tom, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hi, Todd. The reason I'm calling is that I have two things to say. The first is that I keep hearing people talk about on the radio and on TV that we need these illegal immigrants to work the jobs that Americans don't want to work. Well, one thing I've seen is that there is too many of them, because now say, like a meatpacking place. I have a friend who worked that kind of work 20 years ago, and he made good money, and that's the reason he did it. But now that's changed because people who are illegal will now work those jobs for less pay, which brings down the wages for regular Americans. And the argument that, well, you know, that the pay is low because regular Americans don't want to work, it doesn't make sense.
But Tom, I don't.
There was less of these.
But Tom, you know. First of all, they're undocumented folks. Number one, undocumented. Number two, that there was. I know this for a fact because I actually worked in the state legislature and in Congress. The Wisconsin ag community would collapse. In particular, dairy would collapse without both documented and undocumented workers. That's just a fact. Ask any agricultural person knows anything. That's just a fact. And I rather than villainizing people, I think it'd be better to work in a bipartisan way in Congress to address immigration so that we can make legal pathways so that folks will be paying taxes in our communities legally and participating. I think that's a much better route than, you know, having this argument.
Well, I'd like to continue with the last part of why I called, and that's there should be a change in the law nationwide that anybody who's hired should have to, the people who do the hiring, the supervisors, bosses, should have to call a 1-800 number to find out if the person's legal. If they're not legal, they're not hired. And that would help on cutting down, you know, the amount of people working jobs they shouldn't be working. And also, if they are hired by these supervisors, the supervisors should be going to jail or be fined. I had heard this spring that there's only about 300 supervisors in the whole country that have been charged with hiring people illegally, but there's about 80,000 undocumented aliens who have also been charged, or either jail or in, you know, the process of going through the law.
Yeah, I don't know those numbers in front of me. I can't say yes or nay on the numbers. But what I can tell you is somebody who is a manager in the food service industry, again, one of the misunderstood things in food service industry in Wisconsin and across the country is, again, how reliant it is on both documented and undocumented folks. I mean, people have tried to go into restaurants and you see that half the restaurant is empty and you're like, why is nobody sitting over there? Because they don't have workers. They can't find people to work those jobs. So I appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. The word this hour is field, F-I-E-L-D. Field right now in our text to win contest. It's the phones or the text lines are lighting up. How about that, Mr. Zombers?
More people to win.
More people.
Well,
to
I
win.
Guess more people won't win. No. It's the same number of people are going to win.
Good gravy. We don't need any more misinformation in this contest. But no, I just need more chances, right? More people are participating to win. So that's a great deal. Civic Media's goal for the green and gold text to win contest. Somebody this hour is going to win some beautiful gold jewelry. All you have to do to enter is download the Civic Media app and go to your favorite station, click on it, then click on the text icon and text the word field, F-I-E-L-D, field, and send that baby away. You'll be entered in this hour, and then you'll also be entered in for a grand prize, one winner, a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd, against New Orleans. Next chance to win, by the way, is 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Coming up a little bit during the Dom Salvia show. So looking forward to that. You're doing the Dom Salvia show tomorrow?
No.
Or today?
Neither.
Oh, neither.
I think I'm doing Maggie Dawn show tomorrow.
Oh, very good. It's a carousel. But Mr. Zommers, the hardest producer in show business, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Zommers. And we appreciate him so very much. What we also appreciate is the generous amount of time that Kelly Call and Sean Hamish give us on this great new film, Just a Bit Outside. They'll be here to discuss it on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Oddball Show across Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Teachers make 26% less than other college graduates. That's according to a new study from the Center on Economic Policy Research. Author Sylvia Allegretto says she's worried about attracting and retaining teachers.
There's not going to be one way to do this, but it is definitely going to take federal, state, and local government effort.
The same study finds Wisconsin teachers made 24% less than other college grads last year. It's time again to vote for the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce holds the contest every year. 130 products are in the running this time. First round voting runs till the 24th. The top 16 move on to a bracket tournament. The winner will be announced in October. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. This Friday from 4 to 8, the public will have an opportunity to socialize at the AD German Warehouse during the soft opening of the 1921 AD, a lounge serving refreshments and snacks. The 1921 AD is housed at the AD German Warehouse, which has been undergoing restoration. While the renovations are a work in progress, this event provides an opportunity for the community to gather and enjoy the only warehouse designed by architect Frank Lloyd Wright. The 1921 AD is a project of the AD German Warehouse Conservancy, which is a nonprofit. All of the staff are volunteers, and the proceeds go towards the revitalization of the building. The CDC says Wisconsin is showing high levels of COVID-19 viral activity in wastewater as COVID hospitalizations and cases are increasing. The Wisconsin DHS encourages residents to get vaccinated for COVID-19, the flu, and RSV. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Given his penchant for words and his ability to write and perform stinging satire and parody like no one else on TV, you would think the last person producers of the Emmys would want to rile up would be Last Week Tonight host John Oliver. While Oliver was giving his acceptance speech for Best Scripted Variety Show and honoring his family's recently deceased dog, who he credits with being with his family at his wedding through the pandemic and two pregnancies, music was cued to play him off. At first, he tried to talk over the music, but as it crescendoed, Oliver yelled, F you, there you go. Can't wait to see what he says about the Emmys on a future show. Speaking of the Emmys, there was good news in regard to the broadcast, aside from what happened to John Oliver. Viewership was up 54% and reached almost 7 million viewers, which is up from the 75th annual broadcast in January, which saw record low numbers. The 75th annual Emmys were held in January due to the writers and actors strike in 2023. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The unseasonable warmth continues today, too, under sunny skies as highs smack the mid-80s. Few more clouds filtering in here this evening, becoming partly cloudy. We'll leave us tomorrow under a mix of sun and clouds as showers and some storms move in by the afternoon and especially into the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 84 degrees at our studios.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
But you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild comes in studio with me. We're going to talk about extra security for the political candidates. And can the Republicans keep the government open? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Stomp your feet. Clap your hands. You're part of the team.
star.
Welcome back to the Tile Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. What's brewing is success, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's brewing. Before we get to that, though, we have to speak. We have a little business we have to do here. Remember, our Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. The word this hour is field, F-I-E-L-D. Todd would be a terrible player for the Brewers out in left field, F-I-E-L-D. That is the word to text right now on our Civic Media Text to Win contest. You could win some gold jewelry this hour and be in the winning or in the pool to win those great Green Bay seats coming up against New Orleans on December 23rd. But we're not here to talk football this half hour. We are talking baseball, and just a bit outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, and through the graciousness of their time, even though they're tired, they took time for us, so we appreciate it so very much. Joining us via StreamYard from beautiful Los Angeles, California, where we will be next week, is Kelly Call and Sean Hanisch, the producer and producer-director, respectively, of this great new film, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. Gentlemen, congratulations.
Thank you, Todd.
It's amazing.
We're over the moon with the reaction. I mean, the people that are seeing the movie seem to love the movie, which we loved the movie.
I love the movie. Zomers,
you love the movie.
Zomers,
three of us love the movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
you went with a bunch of your buddies, right?
Yeah, I brought five or six people, and everybody, some of them didn't actually know that the Brewers lost that season.
Really?
And so they had a wild ride watching it.
Well, there you go.
Everybody loved it. And afterwards, some of the people who went were like, I don't really care that much about baseball, but okay. And then afterwards, it's like, well, I care about baseball now.
Look at that, guys. Look at that.
We're getting reports from theaters of, you know, full houses, and then people almost treating it like a game. They're showing up at Marcus and they're kind of pre-gaming in the lounge and then going in, and they're clapping during the movie when somebody gets a big hit.
That happened, yeah.
Yeah, and then you know, it's just like collective grief at the end. But it's like a communal experience, which is, I don't know that we anticipated, but it's darn cool.
It's just a lot of fun. I mean, I went last week at the premiere in Waukesha. Zomers has gone to it. To your point, Kelly, I was going to take a couple of friends last night here in Madison at the Point Theater, and there was going to be three of us, and we were going to go to the 6:30 show, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's no three. It was almost sold out. There were only a couple of singles and a couple of doubles. You couldn't even get three tickets together last night in Madison.
We've been selling tickets in Madison and really all across the state like crazy. I mean, I think we sold out at least a dozen shows, if not more, yesterday. Mm. And we have, I think, three shows sold out tonight, two in Milwaukee and one in Madison. It's the response has been truly mind-blowing. I mean, we're so great. You know, when you make something, all you want is for people to see it. You know, you hope they love it. You hope they just get out and see it. And, man, the passion of the fans, you know, that we show in the movie is showing up at the theaters. And we're just so excited. We're actually, Marcus is holding us over in all 14 theaters for another week. And as Kelly likes to say, we're going into enemy territory on Friday.
tell people about that.
Kel, go ahead.
Well, I was going to let you do it, but we're going into Gurney Mills Theater or Cinemas down in Gurney, Illinois, a little over the border. So we're dipping our toe into Illinois, and you know, if things go well there, and some Brewer fans come out, we'll continue the march south, and maybe we'll get down toward Wrigley.
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe maybe Craig Counsell had got nothing to do. Maybe he can go to the movie too.
he's got time, right?
As it turns out, the Brewers, like we say, the Brewers could wrap it up tonight, right? If the Cubs lose here, or regardless, the Brewers could wrap it up tonight. So that'd be great. I want to get to these results because, you know, I'm not in entertainment at the level you guys are, but, you know, I'm smart enough to look at a couple of things, understand it. Here now are the U.S. box office per screen averages. Number one, a film I never heard of, My Old Ass, on 7 screens and got $25,000. Beetlejuice, the big hit, on 4,500 plus screens, brought in $11,000 plus this weekend. Music for Mushrooms was on one screen and brought in 8,500, and Just a Bit Outside on only 14 screens brought in over $4,000 and is the number four movie in America based on per screen average. That's phenomenal.
It's pretty remarkable given, you know, it's a few guys who just decided to put a movie together. And through the generosity of Marcus being able to get it in front of the people it matters to most. But, I mean, we kind of did this with, you know, by our bootstraps. We didn't spend any money on advertising. We relied on the generosity of people like yourself and sharing, you know, your airtime with us, which has been amazing. And as Sean said, the response from the people, you know, in the state has just been more than we would have ever hoped for. We're the number one movie in America on Rotten Tomatoes based on audience response, which is, you know, I can't even wrap my head around that, to be honest.
It's so crazy. Yeah. I mean, you know, number one rated in according to audience score. The thing I think that's most heartwarming, Todd, is we're hearing of children taking their parents or parents taking their children and grandchildren.
Right.
And it's like a multi-generational experience. They all we have 80-year-olds seeing it and loving it. We have 8-year-olds seeing it and loving it. I'm so happy. I always thought this about the movie. You don't have to be a baseball fan to enjoy the film.
Right.
Because it's such a human story.
I'm so glad you brought this up. And Zomers, if we can play the 08 clinch clip here, I want to play you something that's not in this movie, and I'll explain the other side. Here we go back to 2008.
Everybody in this place is standing. 45,000, 299, Sabathia sets. Here it is. Swing and a bouncer. Double play ball. JJ, second.
Not to interrupt the great Bob Uecker, but 2008. That is not in the clip, obviously, because this film only goes to 82. The reason I played it was I was there that day, and I took my mom. And my mom and I sat there, and we both got teary-eyed. And then we had to wait and watch the big screen for the Mets to that Mets game in order for them to get into the playoffs. And it's part of the thing was so emotional for me, guys. And Kelly told me, he said, "You're going to cry." I'm like, "Not really." The last 10 minutes, it was just a constant stream. And I think the reason is because that game I went to with my mom, and there were so many people during that 82 season that went with their parents or their brother or their sister. And this film, Kelly, brings it all back.
Yeah, I've got... Yeah, to speak to what Sean said before, you know, I people my age are both bringing their parents who remember it well, and then their young kids to share this experience with them. And you know, Sean and I talk about this. It's a time machine, and I just don't know how many opportunities you can take these days to go for 2 hours and just get out of your own head and go to another time for 2 hours.
Right.
And I not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but I do think the film is pretty successful in doing that.
Sean?
Yeah. What I found, Todd, watching the world premiere last Wednesday and the sneak preview Thursday, is that we're really fortunate as filmmakers and also as an audience to have this film in movie theaters. Because people get to experience this collectively, they get to cheer for the team again.
Yes.
They get to be bummed out together when, you know, we don't win the seventh game of the World Series. We get to feel all the emotions during the parade, but we're doing it together in groups of 75, 100, 200 people. It's a real communal experience seeing it in the theater together. And I just urge everybody, if they can, get out to see the film in theaters while it's still there, because, you know, later down the line, we'll have DVDs and stuff, and you can probably see it on your computer at some point, you know, months and months or a year down the line. Mm-hmm. It won't have the same impact.
No.
It's a very, very special time, and we're so grateful to Marcus for believing in this film. I mean, they're holding over an independent sports documentary for a second week in all 14 theaters across the state. That's unheard of.
It is unheard of. And again, congrats to you both. But here's the thing, guys. I think Zomer's hit on this, and people that I've talked to that we had that were there last week and saw this together. It's so much. I mean, yes, I know technically it's a sports documentary, but it's so much more than that. And to me, the brilliance of not having a narrator, and really for me at least, one person in the theater. It became this sitting down and listening to Robin Yount and, my God, Ted Simmons and Pete Vukovich. Those three to me just, I mean, again, I'm not going to spoil it because I want people to experience. But this story that Simmons tells about Harvey Keene and what he thinks of meetings, I mean, it was hilarious because that's exactly the way I think. And to hear that, it was phenomenal.
I think we were really fortunate that these guys opened up to us. They gave us everything, and be it a certain point in their lives or what have you, or just enough time has passed, they really opened up to us. And I think that's what made this ultimately successful. You start watching the movie, and whether you know these guys or not, by the end of the movie, you get to know them and you get to like them. And then that's what makes, you know, I think the punch at the end have such impact, and yeah. You know why there's, you know, all sorts of guys in the theater kind of not looking at each other for a couple minutes.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah, right. You know, I was at the premiere, I was kind of looking down the row at the players who were seeing this for the first time, and you know, there were a couple of these, and these are you know, these are old tough guys.
Hey, let's go quickly to phone lines. Oh, didn't plan on taking phone calls, but we have our grand prize winner, Troy from Mount Horeb, is listening in. Troy, thanks for calling in. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I just want to say thank you for making this movie, because the movie was incredible. The feelings of – it's hard for me to put into words, but being able to sit there, like you said, collectively watching this movie – and seeing at the end how this loss affected the team, the players, it was just incredible.
And Troy, and quickly, go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
I just want to make sure that we get, because your wife, she was a softball player, right? So I mean, she has all this coming from a player's perspective as well.
Right. And she really loved the movie. She wasn't into the Brewers back then because she was a kid and she was in her own thing, but. You know, seeing this movie and reflecting on the times and seeing the people and what they were wearing was a lot of fun for her too. You know, when you went into the bar scenes and stuff, that was really cool.
So, well, thank you so much, Troy.
I mean, I love the movie. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Glad you were there, Troy. Thank you.
But guys, here's somebody off the text line right here. This is Kurt in Madison listening to WMDX. Says, I just bought my ticket for tomorrow afternoon. Can't wait, Kurt in Madison. But it is more than a sports story. It's just it is a love story between a team and a city.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Top, I don't think I've ever been thanked more in my life for anything that I've done. thanks. You know, Troy, when you're talking like that, it brings real tears to my eyes that it's affecting you and so many people so deeply. I don't know. Cal?
Some of the notes we're getting on Twitter or X or on Facebook, or if you go read the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, again, not to pat ourselves on the back, but this movie kind of impacted people on a real visceral level, a lot deeper than, you know, watching a show on Apple Plus for a few minutes.
We're going to come back and talk more to the filmmakers here, Kelly Call and Sean Hannish. The movie is just a bit outside. The story of the 82 Brewers, you can see it in theaters, Marcus Theaters, and even Illinois at Gurney Mills this weekend. Back after this is the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Milwaukee
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at wrce.fm, your news just in the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. Oh, it's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matinair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship.
This is for people who take huge dumps. This model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax.
Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. CBS News Radio, ABC News Radio, depending upon your local station, and then the Maggie Dawn Show following the top of the hour. Off the WMDX line, so sorry, but I just tuned in. Well, what were you doing? No, people are working. Just tuned in a bit ago. I'm dying to go to this movie, but what is the name of the film? So glad you asked.
Just a bit outside.
Look at that. Our producer is right on it. Just a bit outside. You're absolutely right. The story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. We have the producer and director of the film, Kelly Call and Sean Hanisch, with us respectively. Guys, we appreciate it so much. Well, I guess in all of our conversations, that line from Just a Bit Outside from Euchre, the fictional character in Major League, did you guys have to get permission to use that, or is that just kind of public domain?
Well, you can't really copyright titles. So
that's fantastic. That's not a thing.
Yeah, I know it is. By the same token, we did let, before we interviewed him, we let Mr. Euchre know that we were, this is the title. And he thought, he was cool with it.
That's so awesome.
People ask, it's just the Euchre line. That movie was not about the Brewers, but the title actually is meant to work on a few different levels.
Right.
These guys were just a bit outside winning it all. These guys who were kind of free spirits were just a bit outside the mainstream in terms of kind of personalities. And then, the Euchre thing doesn't hurt, but they were just a bit outside all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get this point in. This is only in theaters and Marcus Theaters specifically in Wisconsin. The more you go, folks, the longer it will be held. That's very important to your host, because we couldn't go last time with my friends Kurt and Florcy, and we got Monroe Cheese Days this weekend, so we want to go Monday. So if you want Todd to be able to go to this movie on Monday, make sure you buy your tickets now so it stays in theaters. there says an anonymous texter, there are no Marcus Theaters in Eau Claire. Signed, anonymous. That's from my sister. Oh, I'm sorry. any chance that you'll get to Eau Claire?
we're trying to get it into Eau Claire. Let's put it that way.
All right, very good.
We'll leave it there. We'll let you know the good news when we have.
Have hope.
But the serious point is, the more people go and enjoy this film, like anything, it comes down to the dollar signs, and the more successful it is, and I think that, by God, with these kind of ratings on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, it should, but the more people go, the longer it'll be around.
I mean, that's 100% it. I mean, listen, Marcus has been amazing. You know, they've really believed in this film, you know, through and through. So we just have to, you know, we just have to let them know people are still interested in seeing the movie, still buying tickets, and I think they'll, the good people there will, you know, keep us in as long as that's happening. I mean, they love to sell popcorn and soda. And I mean, this, we have an audience that drinks beer.
Right. Exactly.
We think their beer sales, mate. We didn't get a cut of their beer sales, and we probably should have asked for that.
Darn. I think so. Our ongoing contributor and friend, Jeff Perry, watching on Facebook, who is with us down in Waukesha off the world premiere, says, one of my favorite anecdotes, Uke leading a team procession through the streets of Boston. What an outstanding film. We don't want to give too much away, but I think, again, there's these vignettes of things. Like, I was never an athlete, but I was a manager in high school for baseball. I've covered it. I've called it in local baseball games. I never understood the art of pitching until you listen to Vukovich and Simmons's interview, and with Vukovich hurt and the art of that, and he just had to be a thrower. I mean, those are incredible stories, whether it's Uecker or that.
Well, that little scene where they're talking about how Vukovich had he really tore his rotator cuff, in going down the stretch, and how he was throwing, and he was, as Ted Simmons says, he was half a man, but he was such a gamer and so competitive that he and Ted figured out how to pitch major league hitters and still get them out while he didn't have a fastball.
Right.
So I think that's one of the stories, you know, that I don't know, personally, I'm proudest that we were able to bring out was this guy who feels Vukovich, who feels he still blames himself for not getting it done, which the rest of the team think that that's ridiculous. But he still blames himself 42 years later for not getting it done in game 7. And I think we've been able to kind of show the world how courageous this guy was just by going out there. No pitcher today, they wouldn't let him anywhere near the mound with the damage he had in his shoulder. But he wanted to be out there and for his team.
And we find out that it was Bud Selig, the owner of the team, that made the call to let Robin Yount continue to play in a year where he probably, in today's world again, he probably wouldn't have. And that you know the line, obviously. I can't remember it verbatim, but basically Yount was like, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here. And just that.
I'm a ball player. Yeah. I'm a ball player.
I mean, that spirit, to me, I think that's one of the things that got me, which is this spirit of these people. And we see this in people in Wisconsin all over, whether they're farm kids and farm families or factory workers or union people or teachers, that this can-do spirit of never give up. And that's exemplified in this 82 Brewer team.
And I think it's a team that people just, the people you just talked about, they can all relate with these guys.
Right.
These were hard hat, lunch pail guys who went out and did a job every day. They enjoyed it. They had a great time. But, they didn't put on airs. They walked through the parking lot and said hi to people and, you know, might have a beer on the way out of the game, or you might run into them at the local tavern a couple hours after the game was over.
It's why one of my favorite shots in the film is during the parade, and we see all of the construction workers taking their lunch break with their hard hats and lunch pails, you know, applauding the team. Like, that's it. There was such a part of the fabric of the community. And so much like everybody in the state.
Exactly. It is reflective of the state. Go to this movie, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers in Marcus Theaters across Wisconsin. Go to marcustheaters.com or justabitoutsidethemovie.com to get your tickets. Kelly Call, Sean Hannish, congratulations. Thank you for making this film, because not everybody in Hollywood would. Thank you for writing this love story. Do it.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Really our pleasure.
Thanks for everything, Todd. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. The pleasure is all ours. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Back from in Monroe, Wisconsin tomorrow. See you then. Keep banging your drum.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:33. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Don't miss it.
Matinee on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.